We will now commence the plenary segment of this summit. Distinguished heads of state and government, excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to welcome you to this summit, the largest ever gathering of world leaders on climate change. Your presence bears witness to the gravity of the climate change. It is a testament to the opportunity Copenhagen offers. Your decisions will have momentous consequences. You have the power to chart a safer, more sustainable, and prosperous course for these and future generations. The power to reduce the emissions that are causing climate change, to help the most vulnerable adapt to changes that are already underway, to catalyze a new era of global green growth. Now is your moment to act. Excellencies, greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise. We will soon reach a critical threshold, consequences that we cannot reverse. The world's leading scientists warn that we have less than 10 years to avoid the worst-case scenarios projected by Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Indeed, those worst-case scenarios are becoming ever more likely. We must halt the rise in global emissions. Earlier this month, I was in the Arctic. I was alarmed by the rapid pace of change. The Arctic could be nearly ice-free by late 2030. The consequences will be felt by people on every continent. Just yesterday, I met many leaders from small island states. They were forceful and eloquent how climate change is rewriting their future. All across Africa, the most vulnerable continent, climate change threatens to roll back years of development gains. Climate change is the preeminent geopolitical and economic issue of the 21st century. It rewrites the global equation for development, peace, and prosperity. It will increase pressure on water, food, and land, reverse years of development gains, exacerbate poverty, destabilize fragile states, and topple governments. Some say tackling climate change is too expensive. They are wrong. The opposite is true. We will pay an unacceptable price if we do not act now. Distinguished heads of state and government, excellencies, the climate negotiations are proceeding too slow. The world's glaciers are now melting faster than human progress to protect them and us. There are now only 15 negotiating days left until Copenhagen. Your negotiators need your direct political support and guidance to resolve core issues, to accelerate the pace of negotiations, and to strengthen the ambition of what is on offer. Instead of demanding concessions from others, let us ask how we can contribute to the greater good. A successful deal in Copenhagen will mean more prosperity, more security, more equity. It will expand the pie for all. We need to build trust step by step. Today, I call on all the leaders of the industrialized countries in this room to take the first step forward. If you do so, others will take bold measures of their own. I also call on leaders from developing countries to accelerate their efforts. All countries must do more now. Excellencies, let us be clear about the signposts for success at Copenhagen and beyond. The first, a successful deal must involve all countries working toward a common long-term goal to limit global temperature rise to a safe level consistent with the science. It will include ambitious emission reduction targets from industrialized countries by 2020. It will include actions by developing countries to limit the growth of their emissions while they grow sustainably. They will need substantial financial and technological support to achieve this. It will also address all major sources of greenhouse gases, including deforestation and emissions from shipping and aviation. Second, a successful deal must strengthen the world's ability to cope with inevitable changes. In particular, it must provide comprehensive support to the most vulnerable. They have contributed least to this crisis and are suffering first and worst. Adaptation is a moral obligation. It is a political imperative. It is a smart investment in a more secure future. It must be given equal priority in the negotiations, though not at the expense of mitigation. A third, a deal needs to be backed by money and means to deliver it. Without proper financing, the solutions we discuss are empty. A deal must make available the full range of public and private resources so developing countries can pursue low emissions growth as well as adapt. It must provide the framework that will unlock private investment, including through the carbon markets. Fourth, a successful deal must include an equitable global governance structure that addresses the needs of developing countries. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the true test of leadership is to take the long view. National leaders must become global leaders to meet the needs of their own people. Copenhagen offers a new path. It can catalyze a global economy based on low emissions growth that can strengthen sustainable development and lift billions out of poverty. Success in Copenhagen will have positive ripple effects for global cooperation on trade, energy, security, and health. Failure to reach broad agreement in Copenhagen would be morally inexcusable, economically short-sighted, and politically unwise. We cannot go down this road. If we have learned anything from the crisis of the past year, it is that our fates are intertwined. Climate change links us more directly and dramatically than any other issue. Now is the moment to act in common cause. History may not offer us a better chance. Distinguished leaders of the world, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to seal a deal in Copenhagen in December this year, an equitable, scientifically robust deal that strengthens sustainable development and powers green growth for every country. The science demands it. The world economy needs it. The fate of future generations and the hopes and livelihoods of billions of today rest literally with you. I count on your leadership and strong commitment. Thank you very much.